Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one Ginger. It is another rainy day in LA. We're feeling spooky. We're just like having a nice kind of dark time today.
We are. It's very relaxing. It was hard to get motivated today because the rain, I'm telling you, it makes me want to just be a sleeping beauty and just sleep for days.
It's a gloom.
Maybe for eons.
Oh.
I know. We've been waking up a lot later. Well, with daylight savings switching over too, it's been kind of crazy.
Jared hasn't been able to adjust.
No.
I've been waking
that
up
one
really
hour.
Early.
I fell off when
it's
it
been
happened.
Messing me up too.
Yeah. I'm just like, what? Nothing even matters right now.
Mm-mm. Nothing matters.
0%.
Or ever, yeah.
How are we feeling?
Feeling excited about today.
I feel relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a relaxed vibe going on.
We've got a very nice, like, relaxed vibe today.
Should we get right into the day? Do we have any housekeeping?
No, just join our Patreon because we've got over 50 episodes there for anyone who's interested in more content and disappointed in the fact that they've already caught up on all the episodes. We've got, if you want to binge something and you're really out, join Patreon. Yeah. You can always quit if you don't like it, but you'll like it.
You'll like it.
I mean,
you can
point,
go for 1 month and then quit and binge everything, but don't.
You you'll could. Enjoy
don't it. Don't but, tell them the life hack.
But what to else? Be fair, there's a ton of stuff. I don't even know if you get through it all in a month at this point because we've got a lot of stuff.
There is a lot. There, so. There's a lot of episodes there now.
Well, and Jared obviously does all of our editing for all of the podcasting, and he was editing one of our most recent episodes yesterday, and he was like, holy shit, this case is fucking crazy.
It's really good.
Yes.
Like, really good.
Yeah. Our last few have been really, really shocking.
Yeah.
We've been doing it big.
That's the beauty of being able to pick what you want to cover. We can't do that for the first degree because we cover what comes to us. But, I mean, it gave me a peek into what other podcasts get to experience. Yeah. And I just get to, like, willy-nilly pick the most roller coaster of cases. We've never been able to do that, but we do it on Patreon, so it's really nice.
Yeah. So join our Patreon over there by searching The First Degree.
Yes.
Super easy. All right, let's get into the day today.
I'm ready.
So we're going to go through a little timeline of life of April 30th, of March 30th, throughout the years.
Okay.
You know, important moments that have happened.
Okay. Important.
We're going to start in 1867. Alaska, the state, was purchased.
Whoa.
And
who owned it initially?
Russia.
I bet they regret that sale.
Right?
<It's a laughs> to have the
land.
Proximity to the North Americas, I bet you they wish they had that.
And guess how much it was purchased for? Because this isn't a crazy...
$300,000.
More than that.
$2 million.
I want to say...
1867.
1867, I'm going to say $30 million.
It was purchased from Russia for $7.2 million.
Who? Wow. But like, I want to know who had the millions at that point. Like, just the Rockefellers and just the Rothschilds? Like, who had it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, who had that much money? Just the governments?
I guess. So, $7.2 million is equivalent to $109 million as of 2018. So, still cheap.
For an entire state? I mean,
a big ass state.
Dude,
steal.
That really irritates Putin. You know it does.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, what? We could have had Alaska?
Made a bad sale.
Well, and as like a future home buyer, we're really looking for like price per square foot. And if you're looking in LA, it's probably about $1,000 per square foot that you're looking at. But Alaska was roughly 2 cents per acre for that price point. They really got to steal.
But you got to want to live in Alaska.
That's
you
true.
Do. You got to be rugged. You got to want it.
You know who's from Alaska? Holly Madison.
Ah.
I don't think I knew that.
After our episode with her, our next episode was an Alaska case.
Yeah.
And she said, you'll never believe this. I'm listening to the episode right now. And, I'm from the exact same town as the case.
Whoa.
She like knew the coffee shop. She knew that you guys remember the case. I think with the mother and the girl with the friends and the boyfriend who murdered the mom. It was awful. But Holly like knew these places, was from the exact same place. Like, what a quinky dink.
That's crazy.
And she seems
crazy.
Like the most like she's so glamorous and beautiful. Yeah. I'm like, you're from Alaska.
Yeah.
I love this for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Not the rugged type I picture in my mind when I think of like
no.
The
but you know what? I bet she has it in her.
Oh my gosh.
Totally.
That woman can do anything.
That's totally. Right. Okay. So now we're going into 1883. Emmeline Lucy Meeker becomes the first woman who was executed in Vermont.
Oh.
She was hanged for murdering her husband's niece. So that's a little true crime fact for you.
Murdering her husband's niece? That's
for
shit.
For like what reason?
Why'd you do that?
We can find out.
There's a weird gripe that was happening. I didn't look into that one too much. Okay. Next. A little invention, 1983, which is No.
No.
I want more information.
This is 1883. Yeah. I don't know. Hyman, interesting first name, L. Lippman is credited with registering the first patent for a pencil with an attached eraser.
That's got to be 1883. 1983. I'm like, that's only a few years before us truly was born.
Wait, that might be right, though.
No.
No.
There's no way a pencil... Because
a pencil in the 80s?
I just remember when I was a kid going to grandma's house and she had a big, like, it was like an old cigar box with like markers and crayons and pencils in it. And it always had the big, chunky, separate erasers. So I don't know.
That seems like it's.
I would believe it. But also, I was born in 88, so I wasn't around to really know.
Either way,
we
were four lifetimes.
We weren't there.
Okay, yeah. Next.
I know you want us to be older, but we're not that much older.
I was like, what year were you guys born?
Oh, Jared. At this point, we'll be the same age. Jared and I'm a little bit of a cougar. And for 10 months out of the... No. For 2 months out of the year, Jared and I are the same age.
This is true. It's coming up. I feel old for like 2 months. And yeah. Then I go back to being the youngster.
Whatever. Love this for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, 1964, Jeopardy is aired for the first time.
Perfect. It's a perfect show.
Perfect show. We miss Alex Trebek.
We do.
On March 30th, 1981, President Ronald Reagan was shot in the chest outside of a Washington, D.C. hotel.
So awful. People seem to really like him.
And he didn't even realize he was shot. He was shot in the chest. A bunch of like Secret Service men were shot by this. It was just some guy. He was shot in the chest. Didn't realize he was shot. And then like just gets into the car and he walks himself to the hospital. And then makes a full recovery in a few days, which is fucking crazy.
That's such like a Chuck Norris move. I'm shot, but who cares?
That's what
I'm going to walk.
He's like,
here.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I want out of my president, though.
Yeah.
I know.
People liked him.
No, people really rallied around him, especially after this shot to the chest.
There's a clip of him after that, and he's speaking somewhere, and it might have been a balloon that pops or something, and like he just like immediately makes a joke out of it. Like... Doesn't flinch, like nothing crazy. And he just like, I forget.
Imagine how
I'd have to pull it, but
traumatized you need to be to not make a joke about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, to not react physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's what they do to like CIA operatives. Where like they put them in ice baths. They make their nervous system so
overstimulated.
To respond to anything with neutrality that like, I feel like maybe he did some of that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to imagine as a president giving a speech anywhere, if you hear a pop, it's probably a terrifying moment, you know?
Dude, back in the day, everybody was getting shot all of the time.
I got to tell you, I hear a pop in my Hollywood apartment and I am also
I'm on the Facebook group like, was that fireworks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Imagine
it's
if people are
actually not fireworks.
Right. And no one's trying to kill us.
But you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Never
you
know.
Never know. Okay, now we're going to go into like our robust little story for the day.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
In 1984, March 30th, New York detective Robert Cunningham, he was eating at this diner and one of his like good friends was his waitress at the diner. And instead of tipping her for his meal, he was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a dollar lottery ticket. We'll split the winnings if we win. And she was like, yeah, okay, whatever. He's her friend. She's like,
LOL, fine. Copper. Like, sure.
He fucking wins the lottery. On April 1st, which is so funny because it was on April Fool's Day, she gets a call from this guy telling her that they won the lottery.
Oh, dude, he stuck to his word.
She thought that he was joking because it was April Fool's. She was like, oh, fuck you, funny April Fool's joke. And he's like, no. I won $6 million in the lottery and you are going to get $3 million of that.
He was going to go by his word?
He went by his word.
What a guy.
I'm aghast because that doesn't usually happen.
Especially when you're talking about large sums of money.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, he could have been like, fuck you. I guess it did help that it was his friend. Like, it wasn't like a random waitress. But still, I mean, people do worse to family members when they win the lottery.
Straight up.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So they both accepted the annual payments. So they made $280,000 every single year.
Just a straight chill.
Just a straight chill.
Yeah, I feel like if the amount is $6 million, I'd probably go with the annual payment, not the payout.
Is it better to do the payout?
No.
If it was like $50 million,
like a lot.
Yeah,
because then you're like clear in $20 million, whatever, then it's fine. But if you're it's six, that's a fair point where it's like you get more of the money over that time.
Yeah.
And then you're also way less likely to be become one of those cliches where you lottery ruins your life and you blow it all and it fucks your life up. So then you're just making like a good living.
Yeah. You can just quit your job. Yeah. I think that she quit her job obviously as a waitress and she was like traveling and then he renovated his house. Like it actually was a very heartwarming story.
I love that. That's such a rare thing.
I love that.
And she was one of the luckiest winners whose tickets were gifted that has ever won in the lottery.
Oh my God, amazing.
I was going to do True Crime Rewind as like lottery winners whose lives have been ruined, like the lottery curse. Ooh. But it was way too fucking sad.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was once trying to develop a TV show about that and I have a million cases
of it. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it turns out no one wants to hear that because it's depressing.
Well, and it's just like the ways that their lives are ruined is not interesting.
Hold on,
it's
though.
Just
well,
like
it's people like the buzzards and the fucking vultures come in and they get victimized because
or people just like they end up getting into drugs
or they're lacking the education and they're lacking the understanding of what to do with their money and like everyone comes out with open hands and it just turns into a shit show.
Everybody wants
I would
peace.
Counterpoint, I would argue that people would want to watch that because it makes you feel a little bit better about not winning the lottery.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us who haven't won the lottery yet.
There's a lot of us out there.
I'm never going to win.
So because this happened on April Fool's, like the whole revealing that she won the lottery, I thought that it would be more interesting than hearing the really sad stories of the lottery curse. We can go learn about some April Fool's jokes gone wrong.
I love that.
I like this.
So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But before then, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either loving it or we're hating it. We have a healthy discussion, talking about it, end up voting if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to you on Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And then I think that we have a listener on the stand that we're going to listen to today.
Yes, and I think maybe we should start with it.
Let's start with
because otherwise you forget about it.
And if you want to call, Jared's going to provide you with the number.
If you guys want to call in, because I finally have it memorized.
I think I actually memorized it.
Did you?
Is it 818? 446-6889.
Yes, I just remembered it too.
That's right.
Because I literally just said it as you did it. I was like, do I know it? And I was like, I actually do, but I always self-doubt and then I can't remember
it. And I think that now this is like solidified it in our brains that we remember it. So,
it's been in mine.
We're combining her on the stand, worsty firsty. Call us for all of your needs. 818-446-6889.
And just rest assured, I'm the only one who goes through them. You're safe with me. Your name doesn't record.
Yeah.
You're safe, whatever. But we need more because this is the kind of shit we love.
Oh, we love it so much.
Yeah.
So let's get on with it.
Yes.
Listen to our listener on the stand.
Perfect.
Hey, you guys. My on the stand, very simple, chicken salad. They need to rename chicken salad. Is it a salad with chicken on top? Or is it a mayonnaise-based chicken mixture? That's simple. I don't understand. All right. Bye.
She's not wrong.
Well, I got to tell you. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, she's not wrong, but she's really just posing a question here.
No, what is it?
I think she's prosecuting chicken salad mayonnaise.
I think she's prosecuting possibly calling it a salad.
I think she's prosecuting the blanket term for both meals, which are different meals. But I think I have the answer to this.
Okay.
A chicken salad is the mayonnaise, chicken, onions, celery.
Yeah.
And then a Caesar with chicken or a garden with chicken or a Cobb with chicken is a chicken.
We're talking lettuce.
That's a salad with chicken on it.
Yes.
And I think, but if you see chicken salad on, especially if it's coupled with egg salad,
potato salad,
I think then you know what you're dealing with.
Well, that's what I was just trying to look up right now. I was like, what is the origin of calling these things a salad when they're not a salad?
It was the 1950s when they made all those disgusting recipes with like gelatin.
Like
that's when they came up with egg salad and deviled eggs. God bless them.
God bless them.
You know that's when they came up with it, when they were like doing like gelatin with egg slices in it. And like that's when all of it came up.
What were they thinking?
Those like gelatin cakes.
I'm telling you,
like,
I bet you $1 million fucking dollars if we were there, we'd be eating. We'd love it.
We'd be going jello crazy.
Well, it's like a delicacy. Well, we like a little slice of something on a cracker, right? If it's a little gelatin with a little egg, if it's a savory gelatin, like that doesn't sound awful.
I don't think there's a crunch in that, though. I think they just would eat a slice
but
of that, like,
weird.
But you can
add the cracker is the crunch.
Mm. You eat it with a cracker, though? I would.
A savory gelatin, though? I don't know. That scares me.
No, I think we've done it. Well, they have like a pepper jelly that people use.
Have you ever bought a rotisserie chicken and threw it in the fridge and then it starts to...
Yes.
The juices
yes.
coagulate yes. Oh and turn to a yes. gelatin?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking of right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go anywhere near that.
And I'm not... You're disgusted by that?
Yeah, wait, are you
a
about to be like...
A gelatized chicken gizzard mixture?
Okay, you add a few temperatures, then you're yeah. there with gravy. It's that's the same true. Shit. Like, it's kind of... like. That offends me that you are so
okay.
above.
I'm not.
You're you're down to mix that into flour and melt it onto meats,
I
but
am.
You're not down to have it in its true form.
You know what? That's a fair point, and I accept that criticism. But it's just like seeing it and knowing what it once was.
Is there
me
not
out
like
what
some
was it once? A it
was,
juice?
It was a juice.
I know, but I think
where?
The, I think the gelatin's
now it's like
actually,
a wiggly solid.
I honestly think it's better than the juice.
Okay.
Right. I'm disgusted by all of that.
Yeah, I know you are. That's kind of... but
sorry.
Hey, so anyways, I think the reason they still call it a chicken salad, though, is because no one wants to order a chicken mixture.
That's true. Well, yeah, they just never came up with a better
chicken
term for
mayonnaise
it.
Sauce.
Maybe maybe it was when mayonnaise was really becoming a thing. It was seen as yeah. number one, healthy.
Mayonnaise is a thing.
No, I know.
Mayonnaise
when it became
is here to
a
stay.
Thing
yeah.
back in whatever... timeline that it was popular in, like maybe that was like the thing they're trying to number one market it as this like healthy thing
yeah.
So when you're mixing mayonnaise with chicken or egg or potato, then it was like this nice healthy meal, which I still believe,
to be honest. I can't believe mayonnaise is something we've all accepted. It's also gross that you can tell it was born in the 1950s during this era,
because yeah.
it's an eggs paste. I'm like
yum, yum, yum.
We love it because we're desensitized.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. But if it was introduced right now, we'd be like, fuck you. Fuck this.
We understand why people are against it.
Yeah. We understand why people are repulsed by it. But I love it.
I don't get it. I love it so much.
I'll eat
just mayonnaise. All right. Well, chicken salad, I'm just saying not guilty.
All chicken salads, whether it's chicken on top of salad or a chicken salad mixture, is not guilty to me.
Not guilty.
Not guilty, but I think your point is valid that we do need to all get together at some
we
point.
We need to understand
discuss.
The difference.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Wow. We all just said that in unison.
Wow.
It felt good.
Yeah, I did. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
So what I want to talk about and put on the stand is something that I've been newly introduced to. Jacqueline, you already know about this because we're in a group chat. I'm talking Vanderpump Rules.
Okay.
I'm talking Scandoval.
Okay.
I'm talking yeah. Raquel. I'm talking Ariana. I'm talking Lisa Vanderpump. As someone who's been to Sur and like all the restaurants probably 10 years ago before it was a thing, and I was like, this is so lame. I gotta say, this is one of the most entertaining franchises I've ever dipped my toe in.
So have you never watched it up until recently? Up
not
until
a
the Scandal?
Single...
Can you explain to me and possibly a couple listeners what Sur is and what the premise of this is?
Yeah, so
know.
What I'll say is that there are a couple of restaurants in LA that are owned and operated by a woman and the brainchild of this woman named Lisa Vanderpump. And she is the most sophisticated, gorgeous 65-year-old woman I've ever seen. I'm
yeah.
like, if I could be as beautiful as you at any point, forget her age, she looks better than most people I know.
She's British and like so chic.
She's got that tiny
and
dog,
very
right?
Rich.
Am I thinking
yeah.
the right one?
I'm telling you, she's got that money. Money equals
money buys
hot.
Yes.
So, okay. But she certainly fucking is. So anyways, so the whole docudrama revolves around the staff at her restaurants who are all hot. The men are hot. The women are hot. They've got big, strong, sexy personalities. And it's sort of this drama that unfolds over like 15 years because
yeah.
the first season was so long ago and all this really scandalous shit has been happening recently. But I've started back on the older episodes and I love this show.
No, okay. It's so
and
good.
I never knew anything of it until recently. And I'm out of Love Island and shit. So I'm like, this is good for me.
Well, the whole thing is very incestuous. Like, they started off with these two people in a relationship and then those two, but then those two cheated on each other. And then they ended up like everybody has fucked each other and dated each other and cheated on everybody with each other. And they rarely bring a new person into the mix. So it's everybody is using each other's old boyfriends and sloppy seconds and whatever. So this is just the latest installment of everything that happened very publicly. So everybody's obsessed with it.
I'm exhausted.
And there's a big scandal going on, and we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of that. But what I will say is that I underestimated the show. I was like, I'm above this. I'm a professional. I don't watch things like this. And suddenly I am enslaved by it.
Okay.
Like this is what I search on TikTok. This is what I search on Instagram. I need to know every update. I need Reddit. I need to know what's going on with Scandoval. And like, I'm not going to explain it here because this is not that show, but like Google it.
Yeah.
I am defending Vanderpump Rules. This is my new religion.
Okay.
I love it so much. I agree. We had so many conversations about it over the weekend. It's the perfect type of drama for me.
Because we're not involved.
No, but it
looks so painful.
We've had pretty much every single one of them on our podcast before. And
really?
Acquaintances with a few of them. So it's like I'm attached enough and get enough, like a little bit of an insider scoop, but like not enough to care about anybody.
Love them all, though. I don't hate any of them, except I am sketched out by at least a few, but I'm not going to name names.
Okay, that's
we all know because everybody feels the same.
I don't know.
We don't like you. How could you do that to Ariana?
I'm sure they're watching. All right. Vanderpump Rules, not guilty.
Not guilty.
I'm just going to go, what's the neutral answer here? I don't know.
You can't. You have to say one
of the
other.
Not guilty. If you guys like it, I like it.
It's only me joy, Jared.
Oh, not guilty.
If your future wife, happy life, dude.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
It's more video game time for me.
Okay. So I am going to kind of go along with what you're saying, with another scandal, internet.
Oh my God, is it Haley and Selena?
That's going on right now. So here's the thing. Oh, I think I'm going to put Selena Gomez on the stand. Now, I'm defending her.
Thank God.
I've never been like a huge Selena Gomez fan. I mean, I'm not a real big fan of anybody.
She's got some
tunes,
though.
She's got some amazing tunes, but I've never been a stan. But I'm not a stan of anybody. I'm not a Taylor Swift stan.
I'm not a stan either.
I'm not a Miley. I'm not a anybody. But
does she do "Lose You to Love Me" or something like that?
Yeah, and she had that fucking
great song. To love me. Great tune.
Huge song with Kygo.
Let me tell you, that was at the 2019 AMAs. She performed that song.
Mm-hmm.
Justin and Haley didn't come.
Oh.
So basically what's happening.
And that was right after they broke up and when they got married. Like that was like a tribute to him and they didn't come. I know everything about them now.
Because they're fucking petty and insecure. Anyways, so the TLDR, obviously Selena dated Justin. And
eight years on and off.
They broke up. And then Justin started dating Hailey Bieber.
In like months.
And they got married.
Within like less than 5 months, they got married. Like that's...
So everybody has kind of known that I guess Hailey was a bit of a Justin Bieber fan for a while. But now, and this is so funny when the internet decides to do this, because all at once, everybody is unearthing old footage from Hailey Bieber when she was like a tweeny super stalker of Justin Bieber.
Yeah, like her behind Selena and Justin on a date. And you can see her in the footage.
Yeah.
Like that's how stalkery.
Yeah. So she's like a super fan, finds out where they're eating dinner, goes to the restaurant.
And like lurks around.
And she's very lurky. Very lurky would be the adjective to describe what her behavior was.
Lurky.
And then obviously her father, Alec Baldwin's brother.
Stephen Baldwin,
whatever his name was. He would bring her to all these meet and greets and like push her to the front because he's Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, of course.
So he would like get her to be able to meet Justin Bieber as a super fan. So then it's so funny now we're getting all this old footage of her doing interviews.
I wonder if Justin even knew. Like, I really am so curious about what's going on with them, where if he was like, bro, you're standing behind me holding a magazine of me on my date with Selena. Like, and I was introduced to you through the Jenners thinking you were this like random cool chick.
Well, that's when there's these old interviews of her popping up on, I don't know if it's Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, whatever, but she is describing how they met. And she's like, yeah, you know, it was through a mutual friend and like blah, blah, blah. Like fails to mention that she met him by stalking him on his dates with Selena Gomez.
Well, and let's talk about how when you asked Justin how they met, he's on Ellen and he's like, It was actually an arranged marriage.
Well, that's their whole... people are like, is it an actual arranged marriage?
But that's what he said.
Like,
around? He's like, now that I realize it, because Stephen Baldwin was producing and directing like a bunch of religious films, mm-hmm. and he's super Christian.
Oh, yeah.
And he was introduced to Haley under that context, like another woman, a woman who is Christian like you.
Yeah.
And that could be super valid. Like, hey, those aligned values are super important.
Yeah.
So maybe that's sincere. But he said on Ellen, I'll send anyone who wants to see it, that he's like, yeah, oh shit, now that I realize it, this was like an actually arranged marriage.
And then the other thing, it's not even just that, but now people are pulling up all these fucking videos of how Hailey Bieber is basically single white femaling Selena Gomez.
Copying everything she does.
Copying how the way that she talks. Copying like stories that Selena Gomez has told in interviews.
Tattoo behind their ear. Do you guys know about that one?
How Selena Gomez started a cooking show that was in her house. And then Hailey Bieber started a cooking show in her house. And then how the intro is the exact same. It's a whole thing.
Okay, but like Selena Gomez got a G behind her ear because of her sister Grace. And then Hailey Baldwin did it. Hailey Bieber, whatever. But when everyone's like, what is it? She's like, my religious leader's first name. And it's like, that seems like kind of a...
religious leader? Like God?
No. No. Her name's like something. It was
Gloria.
Gloria. Yeah. Oh my God.
You guys know so much. No, but I think
It is like the same like religious leader her and Justin have that run the church. Her first name is G, and that's what she apparently tattooed on her neck. And if that's true, like that's more disturbing. Like, can we talk about that? Because if
there's only one thing
that
would be more disturbing is if it's for Gomez.
If you're, well, it could be, but if you're tattooing a religious leader's name on your neck, like there's more going on because like you shouldn't be doing that as anyone.
Sounds like a branding situation.
I would just say that, like, I
very Nexium.
I sympathize, like, with Justin Bieber because I understand what he's going through. Because this is how me and Jack ended up together. Was like,
aww.
Yeah, like she was stalking me relentlessly.
You wish, Sherry.
Well, like, her being a super fan of my band, it's so cool that we ended up together. And like,
oh,
I found out about that like way later on, which is you know, it's wild to that like,
is,
you know,
wild.
So funny that it was the complete opposite.
It's possible that I am lurking in the background of some of Jack's photos.
Yeah, you emotionally lurked me.
Probably like there's like a fence, and I'm
lurking right now.
Yeah, you're like the neighbor on Home Improvement.
Oh yeah, Wilson.
Love that.
Howdy,
love
neighbor.
That analogy.
Yeah. That's how Jared was my entire life.
Not guilty.
I am just like between the Selena, Haley, Vanderpump, everything going on, I'm like, this is exactly what I need to keep me going.
This is the time of like media gossip, and like I'm sort of feeling really fulfilled right now.
Because you can deep dive. It's not just like, oh, blah, blah, blah happened. It's like, oh, that and
that's
now
layered...
there's footage. It's like a true crime podcast.
Don't even get me fucking started though. The Oscars were last night and Haley snubbed Kendall Jenner. And there is a whole thing where it's like, Kendall's like, are you really just ignoring me right now? And Haley's like, hey, and walked away. I'm like, so now we're like, because Kendall had sex with Justin, and so did Kourtney Kardashian, and so did Kylie.
And that's a whole other thing.
Oh my gosh. Stay tuned for a new podcast on Vanderpump / the Haley Selena goss, because I will do this.
Oh no, I love it. I love it. All right, Jared.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
What's on the stand for you?
I'll keep mine short. I'm going with making new friends as an adult.
Okay.
I'm going to put new friends on the stand.
Are you defending it or are you prosecuting it?
I think I'm prosecuting it. And I think the reason is because, well, it just depends on where you are in life, I suppose. But
yeah.
Actually, I'm defending it.
Okay.
I just changed my mind. I'm defending new friends.
He's all over the place.
When we talked about this before this, when we were coming up with a thing for you, you were just like, fuck new friends. And now you've had like the pendulum has swung in the other direction.
What new friend have you made since we had this conversation 13 minutes ago?
Okay, so I've changed it to one new friend at a time.
Okay.
I love this.
So here's the thing is my band and I, we're all around the same age and we all kind of like we spend a lot of time together, but we have our own lives and like people are going out and doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And I was back in town recently. This was, by recently, I mean like a year ago or so.
Two years ago, before COVID, whatever.
Yeah.
Time is a construct.
And we're at the studio and we're like goofing around and they were like, what's new? And I was like, I made a new friend.
What?
And then one of the other guys goes, oh my God, me too. what's your friend's name? And I was like, well, I was talking about Matt, right?
Oh, Matt, and I was like, watching? This is so cute.
I was like, oh, I've got a new friend in LA. It's like, he's like dating Alexis and like, you know, whatever. So we started talking about, and then it was just so funny because I was like, I have a new friend. I have a new friend. Yeah. And it was like going around.
Oh,
and I was like, it was just so funny because for so long, I've really just been insulated by the same people. And while I think that's a really great thing, unless it's Vanderpump shit, apparently, that seems
like
it could go very wrong.
The best TV show that ever existed.
Mm. While I think that's a great thing, I think every so often it's great to like bring one new person in that you really vibe with.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on them. You can't have more than one at a time because the one, there's some risk involved.
I'm almost on
huge risk involved.
I'm almost at the place where I'm like, if you bring one in, maybe you got to get rid of one. Maybe you got to keep the total number
the
same.
Well, that's our new rule at our home because we have too much stuff. We're like, if something comes in, we're throwing something away.
That's how we are too.
That's your guys' rule
too,
right?
But that's like, well, yeah, because we have such a small apartment, but like, I think for the emotional capacity that you have for relationships in your life, like, I don't even have enough time to really water every single relationship that I have in my life, which is fine because nobody else does either. Like, we're very cognizant of the time that we have that's free to share with each other. But, like, it takes a lot to make a new friend.
It does.
You have to, like, learn about each other's
lives. And
be vulnerable,
like, can I take this person out
try.
With my other friends?
Yeah.
Can they drink?
Yeah.
Like, can it's I like, trust them with a substance? You know, there's a whole thing involved.
No, it's totally. Like, yeah, it's like dating a new person.
But you
really
do have to try. You have to put effort into it if you want to
actually become a friend.
So, but I like you said, I think there's a total amount of energy you can put into friendships, and I almost feel like bringing one person in means you gotta kick one out of it, you know.
The only new friends that Jared and I have made other than Matt, but like, we wouldn't have made friends with Matt if you weren't dating him.
Matt would be in a cave playing video games or on his boat alone.
Yeah,
unless
you came around.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like, no one would know
Matt. Yeah.
But yeah, our only adult friends that we've made are Beth, the dog's parents.
Who we all love.
Who everybody loves because they can hang and they can integrate with all of our friends. They're good vibes, but it helps because we both made friends with them separately. So it wasn't awkward.
And they're not needy. Like when they come on group trip with
us. And no one should
be
at this age.
But they are.
People
are.
Yeah, but nobody should be.
But they're not. And that's what I like about Lindsay, our friends. Beth's mom, Lindsay Jeremy. But anyways, Beth is the dog with three legs, a French bulldog.
We'll have to go over all this separately.
Yeah, way too personal. But anyways, I think new friends, I'm going to still say guilty because I don't have the time for it. But I understand why it would be not guilty.
I'm allowing one at a time.
I'll say not guilty because there's a girl in my new condo building who I like.
Mm. That's nice.
Her name's Becky. We went rock climbing.
Cute.
That's cool.
She's really nice. She's a nurse.
We could talk about it later.
Which is
too.
Someone
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I want to find out all about it.
Great.
Tell me about Becky.
What are we doing now?
Okay. Well,
love you, Becky.
I mean, guilty, not guilty. It's nuanced.
Hung jury.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when we come back, it is time to learn about some April Fool's jokes gone wrong.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, well, I have to start off with the fact of, like, what are the origins of April Fools? It's just a thing that we know about, but, like, how the fuck did it start?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Oscar-nominated movie? Did you guys watch the Oscar-nominated movie, The Banshees?
No.
Of Ira Sharon?
No. I saw a billboard for it at LAX, but I have not watched it.
There's a big April Fool's tie-in.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, they're like, gotcha, this whole thing.
Can I tell you real quick?
Sure.
So,
I mean, but do you want to spoil it for everybody that hasn't seen the movie?
No.
Okay. Watch the movie.
Okay.
Okay, so the
She's like, so it ends?
Bad idea.
It doesn't have a plot. That's what's so interesting about it.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, so... April Fool's Day dates back to 1582. It's
what?
An old, old fucking holiday. And it started when France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Do I know what either of those are? No. But in the Julian calendar, it was the Hindu calendar.
Julian? Yeah.
The new year began with the spring equinox around April 1st. So April 1st used to be the first day of the year in the old calendars that they were
spring,
using.
It's the beginning of spring.
Spring. And it honestly, I feel like it's that
same. That's
true
when
for
we
me.
Come alive.
I know.
Same.
I'm into this idea.
You could live your life like that.
And the end of the year really feels like January. Like it's sad.
Yeah.
Anyways, so obviously back in the day, 1582, no social media, no phones. No
sounds so nice.
Camaraderie, probably nothing.
Sad vibes.
No rights.
So it was very...
Yeah, actually, maybe it sucked.
Getting the news around was very slow.
Yeah.
And it failed to reach some people for a while.
Uh-oh.
That the calendar had moved to January 1st. That was the beginning of the year.
Whoops.
So some people still celebrated.
Who decided it? Like the king?
I don't know. And that's a big thing to change time, kind of. So anyways, everybody that did not realize the new start of the year became the butt of jokes and hoaxes, and they were called April Fools. Pranks.
Attacked.
Pranks included having paper fish placed on their backs and being referred to as poisoned Avril, April fish, said to symbolize a young, easily caught fish and a gullible person.
How offensive.
Yeah.
So if you think somebody's a fool, just tape a paper fish on their back or pin a real one on their
They're
back.
They're like, dude, what are you doing? You're like, dude, they did this in the 1500s. You're an idiot.
You're a fool.
And you're a fool.
April Fool.
Yeah.
Take it as a compliment.
Yeah,
if someone's giving you attention, who cares if it's good or bad?
That's right.
They think you're silly. Okay, so some April Fool's jokes that I thought were pretty fantastic. One, Taco Bell. Did you guys know Taco Bell had a real April Fool's joke?
No, but it sounds like a marketing genius ploy. I want to know more information.
In 1996, Taco Bell duped everyone when they announced that it had agreed 96? To purchase Philadelphia's Liberty Bell and intended to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell.
I vaguely remember this.
Oh,
I vaguely
so good.
Remember
Dude,
this.
They've been crushing their marketing since the
They
90s,
really have.
Probably
they,
even before.
They really
People
do,
believed them.
They do very loud, exciting
I love them.
Campaigns.
And
they don't play
like,
it safe. I love Taco Bell.
And they're with the people. Like, they have young people
and
doing
they know.
Social media.
They know what they've got. They're like, we're wrapping the same five things
yeah,
100
you know what?
Ways.
What's better than a Doritos Locos Taco Supreme?
They know
any of their
These
other
people,
item menus.
Even if our marketing fails, they will come for this.
Yep.
They're too big to fail.
Yeah.
So the other one, another fast food chain that did a really good April Fool's joke was Burger King. In 1998, after Burger King advertised the left-handed Whopper, a ton of people went to Burger King that were left-handed to get their left-handed Whoppers.
See, this is why I like this, because if you go back to the 90s, it's awesome. Nowadays, it's all about social media and all this bullshit
yeah.
where companies are trying to be outrageous to get, whatever, engagement on the internet. Back then, these were like really funny, well-thought-out marketing things. Now it's like a dime a dozen. On April 1st, you don't really believe anything you read on the internet, especially if you're on Reddit. Just skip it all day.
Yeah.
No point even going.
Interesting.
No, those were some good times.
I like that, though.
Okay, we're going back to 1957.
Wow.
There was, on the BBC...
It's when they created chicken salad.
it was April Fool's.
Pretty much.
Yeah. This is actually...
You're like, it's salad, right?
It fucking
guys,
aligns.
This whole April Fool's joke aligns with the chicken salad.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Okay, so one of the most famous April Fool's Day pranks of all time is the BBC's famous Spaghetti Harvest segment. So the BBC ran this segment on their news station about how in the Swiss region near the Italian border, they had a, quote, an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop that year. Then I watched the whole segment. It's fucking insane. They go to these people and they're like trees that are probably like lemon trees and orange trees. And they have all this spaghetti hanging from the tree. And they're saying it was such a good year for spaghetti. They're harvesting their spaghetti. They're grabbing all the things.
I want a spaghetti farm.
It looked amazing, and actually, it was beautiful. It was like all these like little spaghetti noodles hanging
oh
from the trees.
God, a pasta like overload is what I want.
I know.
A field of spaghetti sounds so nice.
Okay, so the next one is I don't know. I didn't write down what year this was, but it was Richard Branson that had a great April Fool's joke.
So
Have
in
you
the
heard
last
this?
60 years,
to Virgin.
Mm.
So. I wish I knew the year, but on March 31st, residents outside of London spotted a flying saucer that appeared to land in a nearby field in Surrey. Police officers went to the field to investigate the supposed U.S. UFO because so many people were like, there's a UFO, there's a UFO, there's a UFO. So the police are like, fine, we'll go check out the UFO. So they go and they see it and it has crashed and it was a real fucking UFO.
Wait. Real meaning what?
It looked like, I mean,
it
was like a flying saucer.
So it was a flying saucer. I'm going to show you a little picture of it in the sky.
That looks like a Men in Black graphic.
Like, this is a picture of what people were seeing.
That's not real,
is it? It is a flying saucer. So the UFO crashes. A bunch of police officers go to check it out.
That's traumatizing to see.
And then they make one police officer go by himself to, like, go up to the UFO to see what's going on. He goes up. The door opens. All this dry ice starts plummeting out.
Like the steam? Like in the Men UFO. In Black?
No. Steam. And then a fucking guy in an ET costume walks out of it.
No way.
And the guy, the cop, freaked the fuck out.
Wouldn't you?
He was traumatized and he went back and it took them a while to like realize what was going on. So basically what happened, Richard Branson and his friend Don something or other, they got this, it was basically a blimp in the shape of a flying saucer. And they wanted to fly it around as an actual April Fool's joke, but there was a ton of wind and it ended up like actually crashing.
Oh my
and
God.
His friend was dressed up in a full size ET costume.
Goodness.
My God.
I don't know how I had like never
so
heard about that.
That's so sketchy to do. Well, I feel like you'd have to clear that with like the local airspace so they know that you're not like a. I mean,
well, during
even,
the time
even the
he
last
probably had
month,
Virgin
Atlantic. Shooting
people
down
are arrogant,
balloons.
Jared. People do whatever they want.
But back in the day, he had Virgin Atlantic. He probably could clear it with the airspace.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So,
I love how convincing it looks. It's like, I mean, if you're a billionaire, you better
in
do
the
your
sky.
Well.
This looks like we'll post a picture on social media. Like it looks like UFO.
Put anything in the sky. People are like, oh my God.
Yep.
Cause like we can't get up there.
No, we don't.
And so we're like,
can't
mystified.
Go up there. Yeah.
Get it high enough.
Convince me otherwise. Yeah. That looks like an alien.
I can't go up there. I guess I just will die never knowing
that's
what that
right.
is.
Even seeing planes sometimes, I start getting very existential and I'm like, this. I don't like that either.
No. I can't believe we even go in them.
No.
And we don't talk about it enough.
No, we
that
don't.
That we're like getting into a plane and flying to Europe. I'm like,
getting
are
in,
we cool with this?
It is
getting
insane.
Into a metal heavy fucking cylinder with 300 people.
Jack goes, so we're watching that MH370 like
I would never watch that. You guys are masochists for watching
but
that.
There's a shot. There's this one
that's
shot.
The Malaysia Airways crash dock.
It was interesting.
Which but they, is going to traumatize anyone who wants to fly ever again.
No,
they show this
it's
one
not
shot.
Plane crash.
They show this one shot and it's the what? Plane at like a distance. It's kind of like dusk. And it's kind of, it's not, it's
tiny.
Like, a, it's like a reenactment.
It's like,
but
it reminds you of like the little blue dot. It
so
like looks
so
small.
It's like
small.
Flying through the clouds. And like Jack always says every time that image comes up, it like terrifies her. I'm like, this is what every plane looks like from that.
But it's existential. It like, cause you realize how fucking
well, you don't
tiny and
realize that you're
is.
An ant in the universe.
Yeah.
And that really helps you be like, you're a little beep boop flying.
Yeah. And I'm like, how is it flying? I don't understand it.
It's
I have to
safe.
Disassociate when I'm on it. I have to disassociate when I'm on an airplane because I'm like this. I don't understand anything and it freaks me out.
Terrifying. Mm.
Okay, we're going to go for the last April Fool's
ooh,
joke.
Can't wait.
I'm going to read this from, it was an article in the paper. I'm going to read it directly. It was from
wait.
The 1800s.
Wow.
It says, near Nashville yesterday, John Ahrens, a farmer, planned an April Fool's joke on his wife with disastrous results.
Uh-oh.
He disguised himself as a tramp, which was like a vagabond. Fastened a white mask over his face and knocked at the door. When she appeared, he ordered to get dinner for him. To his horror, his wife fell to the floor in a faint and died an hour later.
Oh my God.
He had
just
only,
from scaring her?
He had only been buried a few months and idolized his wife. Her death has crazed him with grief and remorse. It's really sad, but like she fainted and died from shock because
her scary husband had a mask on?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't that insane?
I get that though. I've been overwhelmed before.
You can like,
and I'm like,
get
this
overwhelmed.
Could end
yeah.
me.
Yeah. You can literally go into shock like from being overwhelmed.
That's
yeah.
what she did. She
and
might have hit her head
you.
Or something.
Well, but that's before the internet when we knew what scary shit was.
Mm. Yeah.
Like back then it was like anything could be like paranormal or scary
true.
Or the end of you.
There's nobody to debunk
it. Now
it.
We have a measure of sort of skepticism.
Yeah,
sometimes
sure.
some people
sometimes.
Do.
Sometimes. And now, where it's just running rampant, and there's like all these conspiracies and theories.
The more you learn, the more you believe. All yes. right. Well, when we come back, we're gonna learn about some bad things that you people did.
Naughty, naughty peeps.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Okay, worsty firsties. So we're super excited to just dive into the bad thing you've done.
Woohoo!
We're gonna just dig right into
and
it.
And if you want to call and give us your worst thing that you've ever done, the number is the same as on the stand. It's going to be 818-446-6889.
Thanks, Jared.
You're very welcome.
Hey, you guys. I have a worsty firsty. First of all, I would like to say that your listeners, when they tell a story, they are so good. I feel like they're professional. All right, worsty firsty. So this is going to be a little confusing, but I'm going to call this a tale of two Erins. When I was about a freshman in high school, we had to ask, it was Sadie Hawkins' dance, so we would have to ask the guys on a dance, like a date for the dance. And there was two Erins. I'm not going to say the last name because of, I feel like I might be sued. As if they listen, I don't know. But, it sounded offensive. I don't know. But what ended up happening was I asked, let's say, Erin A, and my friend asked Erin B. Here's the thing. I had a crush on Erin B, but I asked Erin A. This is already confusing. So they said yes, so I'm going to go, you know, with the one Erin. She's going to go with the other Erin. Well, in the meantime, I end up starting to kind of slightly date, as much as what you can when you're a freshman, the other Erin. So what we did, me and the other Erin, we asked, this is crazy. It's gaslighting now that I'm thinking about it. It was, in my defense, this was 1991. So we didn't know what gaslighting was, nor did we even hardly know what abuse was really then. But Erin and I started talking to each other, and we end up acting like we were originally going to go in the first place and that she asked the wrong Erin. So then I end up going with the Erin I wanted to, and she was all real confused. I'm like, no, remember, you were going to ask the other Erin. And it worked. So I ended up going with my Erin that I wanted to. And then she went with the other Erin. And it worked. I don't know for sure if that's just a tale of, it almost kind of makes you see how confusing and blindsided we were in the early 90s. Or it might have just been my school. I don't know. But anyways, all right. I'll call you guys again with more stories. I love listening to you guys. You guys are awesome. And I feel so enlightened and educated and entertained. So I appreciate everything you guys do. Okay, bye.
So what I'm going to say is that I love that you address the fact that like gaslighting wasn't even a thing back then.
Yeah. Like, it hadn't been invented
how
yet.
Would you even articulate that to the Erin who was confused or to your friend hypothetically or to your, it's like, oh no, you're,
gaslighting is so nuanced that it's like
such
how
a hard thing to
what
explain.
It is.
But you know, I think when you're at like a dance or high school, whatever, like people just want someone, and I think everyone's down to just like recouple with whoever. Like they're cool with this, and that's why you're not bad. Like this is, it's like as long as someone ends up with someone, this is okay.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what? You're in high school. People are doing real bad things to each other all the time, especially for boys and to their friends. Like everybody's a fucking asshole in high school.
No one knows how to have like compassion for their fellow student or peer at that point because we don't have compassion yet because our brains are mush.
You're basically still an infant.
Yes.
You know, it's like being at that age, like there's no
scary age
there's
to
no
be
explaining your behavior.
I'd rather die than be that age again.
I actually think that you are very creative.
I agree.
A problem solver. Like these are all very good qualities that you could bring into the workforce.
You're honestly like a force to be reckoned with.
I love it. I love it.
I love this too. You're not the worst.
You know, it's like
you might be the best.
You know what it reminds me of is like, have you ever seen, this has actually happened to us, but you're out in public and a magician kind of is on the scene.
Yeah.
And they just pop in.
And they start using confusion as a tactic. And the next thing you know, there's like your watch is missing and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They've done so much.
Or a deck of cards are out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Maybe you're just a musician, a magician.
Maybe you're a magician.
Yeah. The art of confusion, you know?
I love that.
All right. Laxball. We're out of time for another worstie, but we do have time for a poem.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's interesting because I just so happen to have written one.
I can't wait for what it is.
Oh, God. You know, recording in person really makes me.
You've got motivation. You're writing poems. Like, I love that. You're writing poetry again.
Feels weird.
That's when you know she's on the up and up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is called I Am the April Fool. It's no surprise I wasn't liked in school. I wasn't popular. I wasn't cool. My morals are in the gutter, kind of like a cesspool. I've never followed even a single rule. I'm a sad man in a dark bar sitting on a bar stool. Oh. I'm a useless man, never picked up a tool. I'll suck you into my dark whirlpool. A succubus, I was just born cruel. I'm George Costanza. I'm the April Fool.
Oh, yeah. I love the use of succubus.
I don't know where
is
that was going.
Is succubus the best word it or really is it not?
Succubus is a great word.
Such a good word.
We did it.
Yay.
Good job.
Love you guys.
Bye.